Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
That was powerful. Love that. Thank you, guys. Man, that was really, really good. Cool, let's see. As we're worshiping this morning, was watching a father-son worship back here with Mark and Josh, and Josh just heard the Lord kind of drop in my spirit to you that in a waiting time that he's still faithful and he's still good. Waiting time should never be viewed as wasted time. He's good, man. And not that you're questioning any of that, but just in the elongated seasons of life, he's faithful. He's really, really consistent. Just want to encourage your heart. Lift your head today. He's really, really good. And it's fun to see a whole family to worship together, but I really love watching men, fathers and sons, come to Jesus and worship together, right? And then, Mark, you can give him a noogie on the way out. You definitely will, I know. But when we're together, man, isn't there something about that? It's really biblical. It's how the Old Testament is closed, is in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, I really want the sons to turn their hearts to the fathers, and I want the hearts of the fathers to be turned toward their sons to see generational reconciliation. He says, that's the vision. And then he closes the Old Testament with that. And then Jesus comes. Is that cool? I just believe, man, whenever fathers and sons reconnect hearts, Jesus comes in those times. So anyway, hopefully you're encouraged with that. This last weekend, as we're heading into the new school year, we were able to peel away for a couple days, and we went on a camping trip. Here is what our campsite looked like. No, I'm just kidding. We had a much better setup than this. But Judah this morning, I'm putting this little campfire together. And he says, Dad, I know. Well, we'll take our campfire to the next level. If I get some red and yellow paper, and it'll look just like flames, it'll freak everybody out. Is everybody freaked out right now? This fire, whew, it is wild. It's wild up here. But anyway, we went camping with my parents, my sister, her husband, and their 7 kids. Yep. And me and my wife and our 3 kids. And we loaded up. And my dad, he's got 2 campers. He's got an oldie that he calls Lucy. She was like, I don't know, an 80s sort of a camper. And then he's got his new camper with all the bells and whistles and extensions. He's way more into glamping, right? And then we are into the tent camping, but like the large tent, because all the cousins want to sleep with us. So we've got like this 10-sleeper camp and these air mattresses and all that sort of stuff. And so the kids just run, dive, start bouncing on these air mattresses. They lasted for a couple hours. And then that was over, and so we just had to keep filling them up the whole weekend, and just had a blast, just had a good time. Went to Brookville. Anybody ever been to Brookville, to the state park there, and just had fun. When we pulled in, we're setting up camp, and all the kids are running around. They're just amped, right? Just doing 100 different things and finding every bug and every tree to climb and every little thing that they can possibly get into. And we're setting up two different camp spots for the 2 different trailers with a tent in the middle. I immediately got to get a fire going. I just love the smell of fire. So the fire's just kind of going. It's 90 degrees. Nobody needs a fire right now, but I got us one going. And we just had a good time with it. There's another fire we see in Scripture in John chapter 21, and it's whenever Jesus comes back on the scene. And he had just been crucified. He'd been put in this grave, and now he shows up and he reveals himself to his disciples, and they're all out fishing, and he yells to them to try to catch some fish. And they look back and they're saying, who is that guy standing on the shore? And he already has a fire already made and already cooking fish on the shore. Jesus is so crazy, isn't he? And he's like, hey guys, this is how you ought to do some fishing. And they come back thinking, who is this man? Thought he was a ghost. They come running back up to shore, and then Jesus sits down and he reveals himself to them at the fire. This morning I want to talk to you about insights around a campfire. And I believe that over this weekend, there's a lot of just life insights that Jesus was just kind of dropping into my spirit. And Jesus reveals himself to his disciples around a campfire. And I believe that he wants to reveal just little pieces of life to us this morning around our ferocious and scary campfire this morning. Anybody ever like the movie Three Amigos? Any fans of Steve Martin out there? Yeah, Mike, I knew somebody. Octopapa, he loves it. Anybody else? You kind of got into that Steve Martin humor. They had a campfire at one point. I want to show you a clip from their campfire. Maybe you'll enjoy this.
Arizona moon keep shining.
He turned up just a bit.
From the desert sky above. You know pretty soon that big yellow moon will light the way back to the one you love. Blue shadows on the trail. Little cowboy, close your eyes and dream. All of the doggies are in the corral. All of your work is done. Just close your eyes and dream. Dream of someone.
Yeah, that's enough of that. Awesome. Fun stuff. Uh-oh. Are we still showing? Point number one I want to talk about is on this trip that we went, and in all of our Christian trips in life, this particular camping trip, somebody else paid the price. And it was my dad who paid for the camping site. My mom went out and got all of the food. She bought all the food for 15 of us to go camping. A couple days, we rented a couple pontoon boats. One of them had a tube that you pulled behind. One of them had a slide that goes off the back of the pontoon. We went swimming. They paid for, I don't know, just little fun things that we would do. Go get ice cream. Paid for the gas to go back in all of the pontoons. All of those things, they paid the price so that all of us could go. Also, what was insightful as we're sitting around this campfire, there's people pulling in with like semi-truck cabs pulling a fifth wheel. I mean, just like your home doesn't cost as much as this rig pulling in here. And I'm like, yeah, but I got a Coleman tent. That's pretty cool, huh? Isn't that cool? It's only got four tears in it. And my air mattress almost worked. And people coming in with whatever their campers are and these tents, and it doesn't matter how you get there. As long as somebody pays the price, everybody's allowed entry. And see, it doesn't matter the journey that it took for you to have a relationship with Jesus, but somebody ultimately paid the price. And somebody ultimately said, even though this person requires such a payment, what the Bible calls as a ransom, meaning that the enemy had taken us and held us captive. And somebody's got to pay the price in order to free those that are ransomed, right? Anybody remember the Mel Brooks movie? Ransom. And he comes in, he's got to take his son back. And Jesus says, I'll be the ultimate price, and I'll lay my life down to free those. And it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter if you came in luxury or if you came in on your deathbed or you came in on the last moment. Somebody paid the price. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation and every RV and camper and tent. It didn't matter how you came, all of them had a price that were paid for them. Another point that I realize is that the family of God, much like the Meyer family, is a mix-matched Meyer family, or the mix-matched family. My dad comes from this area, but going back to his dad, who comes up from Warren, to go back to his parents, who both were orphaned, who were adopted. My great-great-grandfather went through White's Residential, formerly White's White's Institute. Perhaps you know that. It's hard to track our family line too far because adoption came into the scene, and my mom coming into the scene, who then produced kids, and my sister who marries into a different family, and then we brought in this crazy inner city girl from Kansas City into our family. And my sister, she had four daughters, and for the longest time wanted to have a son and just wasn't able to, and she went on and had four more pregnancies, all of them ending in miscarriages. And for those that were long enough to go on to find out the gender of the baby, all of those they found out were female as well. And they just realized, man, we're just destined to not have a son. It's just how it is. But we're thankful for our four. They ended up getting connected with another family who didn't, the mom just wasn't a good mom, had previously given another child up for adoption, had gotten into drugs, had gotten into all different kinds of just hard things in life, and wasn't able to take care of her children. And Brittany, my sister Brittany, through a relationship, was able to connect with these boys, and they would just have them over to play with their daughters, and they just would play and hang out and would give them back over the week and then have them for the weekend, realizing that they're still wearing the same diaper that she sent them home in 4 days earlier. And then realized that one of them's got some potential brain issues because they had bedhead and they had to wear a corrective helmet to reform their skull because she would just let them lay in their bed all day long. They end up moving toward legal guardianship, and the mom was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, just uninterested. They said, well, we'll move toward adoption as well. The mom put up a little bit of a fight because it's nice getting that paycheck every month, but eventually realized, I just can't do it anymore. Rex and Brittany, my brother-in-law and sister, as they're moving toward adoption, realize they're pregnant. Oh, no. What they find out is they're pregnant with a son. They've got a boy coming, and they're about to have three boys. So right now, they go from four to seven overnight, just like that. Our family is a little mixed match in the sense that adoption has been a piece of our family. And sometimes families get pieced together, maybe through remarriages, maybe through half-brothers and sisters, but it's a picture of the family of God. Every different nation, tribe, tongue, people are going to be represented around the throne of heaven. It's not going to just look like a bunch of whiteys sitting around there. Let me tell you that. Every nation, every tribe, every dialect, every tongue is going to be singing praise and worship. And as we're sitting around this fire, it's kind of like looking at each other. Like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? How are you here right now? On the way home, driving home, I just told Alyssa, I'm like, thank you for picking our family. I'm glad you're in our family. The family of God is so unique and it's so diverse. It's fascinating. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 said, even before he made the world, God loved us. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? We're all adopted. We all were in a different family at one point. And he grafted us in. This is what he wanted to do and it gave him great pleasure to do so. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, and he forgave us of our sins. Laying with my daughters, I was laying with Ronnie and Nora, and we start talking about their future husbands. A conversation I absolutely love, probably until they're about 20, and then I'm going to hate it. But right now, we're just dreaming. And Ronnie, she's we call her our venture girl. She's just so adventurous all of the time. So like being on this pontoon boat, it wasn't enough to just jump off the sides. It wasn't enough to go ripping down the slide. We had to climb up on top of the upper deck, the roof of this thing, and jump off from there. We just got to go to the next level, right? It's just never enough. There's just a little bit more thrill, adrenaline we can squeeze out of this thing. And so we're climbing up to the front, and at first you're just like, we sure hope it's deep enough, right? And then we're like, yeah, it's deep enough. Then we're diving off of the top. Then, totally on accident, I thought I was going to do a back dive. I end up going a little too far my back dive, flip all the way over, and do a belly smacker the opposite way. Hurt some very precious things. It was hurt. I was like, oh, that was awesome, right, guys? Oh. And I thought, I did that on accident. I bet if I go harder next time, I could do a whole back flip. Great idea, huh? So I get up there, and I'm holding on to the sides, and I'm ready to go, and I just launch and tuck. Did my first backflip ever, people. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, amazing. And then you just couldn't stop me, so I just kept doing backflips the whole time into the water. And so I'm laying down with Ronnie at the end of the day and Nora, and we're talking about our future husband. She said, Dad, I want to marry somebody like you. Ugh, that'll just mess you up, right? That sentence right there just wipes you out. I want to marry somebody like you. And then Nora jumps in. She goes, I want to marry Judah. Oh, man. And then Ronnie said, she said, Dad, if Jesus made all of the earth and everything on it, then let's rewind. Who made Jesus? I was like, Ronnie, great question, huh? So somebody must have created this, that must have created this, that must have created this. We can back up the story as far as we want to. But at some point, somebody had to start it all, right? That person is what we call God, Jesus. He is the unmoved mover. He has moved all of these things. Nobody moved him. He moved it all. Pretty cool thought, huh? And Nora goes, hey, Dad, watch this. We're going deep, theology, creation, future husbands. We're going covenant, kind of people we want to marry. Nora, man, she's on her own planet. Like, who created that planet is what I want to know. But I'll tell you, I just want to encourage you, maybe even all families, but specifically some young families, to carve off the time to have conversations that matter. Sit around that fire, sit around the kitchen table, sit around the living room, lay in bed with them. Be intentional to provoke conversation that's going to forge future. Some things that matter as they move forward in life, because I'll tell you, when they're gone, they're gone. You can fight to get it back, and many of you, hopefully you still do have that. You're able to get it back. But squeeze it now. Master those moments early and do them often now. Next point is this. Death is part of the trip. Death is part of the trip. Rex, my brother-in-law, while we're on the boat, we're on one of these pontoons, and we're out, and we're laughing, and we're splashing, and we're flipping, and we're tubing, and we're doing all this stuff, gets a phone call. And his dad has had a heart attack. And he died. So he kind of peels off, and he's sitting at the back of one of the boats, and we end up putting our two pontoons together, and he's taking this phone call, and just a hush comes over the family. And you're receiving the hardest information, right? I mean, death. you're receiving some tough information. And in the midst of the joy is also pain. In the midst of the excitement and energy is also loss and suffering. It's just kind of all mingled together in this trip. And I wish it was just peaches and cream and just sitting around eating s'mores the whole time. But next morning they're off and they head home. And we thought we were on a camping trip having fun. And the next moment you're sitting with a funeral director planning your father's memorial service. Whew. It can move quick, right? The whole scene just shifts so fast. And man, how do we just even process, like, God, are you not fair? You're just not a good storyteller, because the story was getting really good. And you throw that in the mix. And it just seems like suffering is just part of the journey, right? And let's not be confused. He's warned us from the beginning in Ecclesiastes. He reminds us, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, there is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under the heavens. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. A time to plant. A time to uproot. A time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to tear down. A time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. Sometimes those times overlap each other. And you're dancing and hugging. You're crying and dancing. I remember being at Sarah Jessup's wedding. Why am I going there, Lynn? Dancing with her brother, crying, holding each other, right? The best moment, the hardest moment. Right? Sometimes the times overlap. I remember in the midst of the pain, Lynn, you remember she reaches down into her boot, pulls out one of Bill's old handkerchiefs, gives it to her brother, and Jeff is a mess. 6 foot, 4 inch, pile of gooey emotion. Sometimes it's both at the same time. It's just a hardship. And yet God he's faithful. He gets us through, right? He gets us through the valley of a shadow of death. He gets us through. There will be green pastures, waters that are still. He'll set up a banqueting table in front of our enemies. But sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the campfire isn't Steve Martin playing a guitar singing. Sometimes the campfire is a little bit more somber that night. It's a little bit different in those seasons of life. Last point here. Everything has a place. Especially when you go camping with my dad. Everything better have a place. He is a particular man. Everything goes in a certain spot. Everything gets put back into a very particular spot. As we're loading up his truck, the chairs go here, the cooler goes there, the stack of wood unused goes here. And everything kind of has a place. Why that is helpful is because it just makes the experience more efficient. Perhaps you've heard this example as far as prioritizing the things in life so that it all fits. If you've got a bucket and you've got some big rocks, little rocks, you've got water, you've got sand, you've got all of these things that's got to get into this bucket. Priority matters in how we go about. And we just can't fill the bucket with water, because now if we put sand in it, it overflows. We just can't fill it with sand because there's no room for the rocks. But if you would put the big things in first, those big things of life, those priorities that really matter, God, your faith, your family, those things that really matter. And then if you put some some medium-sized rocks in there. They kind of work their way down. Then you put some little pebbles in. Those pebbles find those little creases and they get in. But the bucket's not full yet, because you can still pour in sand, and the sand will shift down and fill up more pieces of your life. And you think, wow, this thing's full. You still got some water that you could pour in. Now that is a full bucket. That's a full life. But it happens because you prioritize those things that are big first, if you will. So the priority of things matters. But even though the next one is, everything has a place until the end. And until the end, Dad just kind of said, this goes here and this goes there. Just kind of throw it on top. Until the end. Do you ever get there in life, you're like, yeah, I know my doctor is saying I shouldn't be eating this, but I'm at the end. It all fits. I'm having ice cream tonight. Sometimes there's a time for it to just say, you know what? Some way, somehow, it all fits. It all just says to fit somehow. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, it says, God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to prioritize, right? Teach us to count what really matters. And what do we have left in the days of life that we may gain a heart of wisdom? As we're sitting around this campfire, I thought, man, this campfire is a lot like heaven. It really feels like there's a piece of heaven. It's this mixed match family of every nation, tribe, tongue, different group that can come together. It's the family of God. And I'll close with this. Chapter 7, verse 9, it says, after this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from every tribe and people and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell with their faces down before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I want to invite all of you to sit around the campfire with the Lord. He's saying, I've paid the price for you. Welcome to the mixed match family. There's some pain, there's some suffering. We're going to go through it all, but somehow it all fits together in this beautiful story until the very end when we're gathered around my throne. I want to encourage you, stay in the race, stay in the game. He's good. He's faithful through it all. There's a lot of good insights that we can pull through all of life, right? And let's max out those moments when we can. I'm going to close in prayer. Would you all stand with me? And we'll close. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one that paid the price. You're the one that got us in. Jesus, we just pause to worship you for that. Jesus, I just thank you that you saw fit to bring me into your family, that you've adopted me in. Jesus, I thank you for this church, that you've set your affection upon Fairmount Friends, that you have turned your face toward her and said that we're bringing you in to the family. Lord, I just pray that we would be a people that's intentional with our time. Teach us to count the days, to max out the moments, to prioritize well. Lord, I pray that we would just figure out the times and the seasons that you're taking us through, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you that one day we get to gather around the throne with our extended family and worship you. We honor you for all that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.